Closing service for this afternoon will be a discourse by our brother Lord Gaddy from Phoenix, Arizona. And he has chosen as his topic, The Power of God. Brother Gaddy.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Greetings, my dear brethren. It's nice to be with you. We bring the Christian love and greetings from our brethren in Phoenix. We have an opportunity to call to your attention some of the points described in the scriptures concerning the power of God. We, as simple human beings, can very scarcely scratch the surface as to the real power that the Almighty God has. But we're going to call to your attention some of the scriptures that will help us to relate to this great power that is exercised on our behalf as His children. That same God that created the heavens and the earth is the same God that called you and me into this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To begin with, let us look at Job, the 37th chapter and the 23rd verse. And it says, touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. In other words, it is impossible for us as mere human beings to find Him out exactly. But you know, we as spiritual beings, having been begotten of the Spirit of God, have a little greater insight into the reality of our great God. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. And He will not afflict. Recalling the beginning of the creation, going back to Genesis, the first chapter, and we'd like to read the beginning of this to get in our minds the actual creation here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, it says it very simply, doesn't it? But what great forethought, what great work, what great insight was in this development of these things that He had in mind for the human family to create this earth for an everlasting habitation for mankind, for the beauty to be enjoyed by them forever. For we realize that God had a purpose in mind when He planted man here upon the earth, that He created this earth not in vain, but it formed it to be inhabited. And you and I know that His works are great and all-wise, and it will, by His great power, ultimately bring a beauty both in heaven and earth. And we know that, as in the prayer, that His will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. And you and I have been given this spiritual insight of this new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was up on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. A beginning of putting things together, so to speak, to formulate this plan that He had in mind. And as we recall the scripture as recorded in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 11th verse, according to the Diaglot translation, it says that He, according to a plan of the ages, which He formed for the anointed Jesus, our Lord. And we have vision of this great plan going into effect here, as we see in our mind's eye, going back to the very fundamentals of the creation here. The herbs and all of the things that are upon this vast earth for man's habitation. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And we, since we have begun to study this, realize the division between the heavens and the earth, and the firmament that was above, and this is where we know about the rain that is noted here in the scriptures from Noah. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let their waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Seeing a reasonable way in formulating over a period of time this great vast earth to be for man's habitation. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the sea. And God saw that it was good. This was a beautiful work of his in a premeditation of a blessing for the human family right here on God's green earth. And God said that the earth bring forth grass, and the herbs yielded seed, and the fruit tree yielded fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself and upon the earth, and it was so. And as we think about these simple things here, as it's saying that each one of these seed yielded a fruit of its own sort. Who of us can do anything of this sort? It shows the great power into bringing into existence and the creation of this great work that God had in his own might. And all of these things, he said it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielded fruit. Those seeds was in itself, after its kind, or after its own likeness, that it would reproduce, having a perpetual existence. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be a light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And we know that this was according to his time period that we work with today, a stabilization of the time that you and I know, the days and the nights. And let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And even today we have this great sun and the moon by night. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light and the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the fourth day. Here we see a beginning of the power of God being set into effect, really, that you and I can understand the effect of a creation of something that was non-existent. If we think about a non-existent earth, which we have trouble with, but nevertheless, there was a time when there was not even the earth here. In Job, the 26th chapter, in the 7th verse, describes this very nicely. It says, he, or God, stretched out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Hangeth the earth upon nothing. Can you imagine hanging something upon nothing that weighs something, the weight of this earth? It's impossible to us to really comprehend this. But this was our great God in his great power, that stretched forth his hand and hangeth this great earth upon nothing. We turn to the Psalms, the 104th Psalm in the 5th verse, says, who, of course talking about asking a question, laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? Well, we know who. God Almighty, by His great power, through our Lord Jesus. They set these things in motion for us, that we might see and appreciate the vastness of His power. Have we really thought about how He could set this earth here just upon nothing and hang it out there in the vast space? It could stay in that place and rotate with an environment suitable for the human habitation. What great power. It astounds us to think of this and to know that this same great God that established this wanted a relationship with a human family, and He selected some from every nation, kindred, and tongue to be of His family, the family of God. Oh, it's astounding to think of the power of God, that He stretched forth His power and exercised it on our behalf, touched our hearts and minds that we might be drawn to Him, to know Him, and have a great desire to serve Him. But it's through His great power that He has drawn us near to Him and given us this desire to be like our Lord Jesus, and ultimately to be of the divine nature, the spirit nature, as was our Lord Jesus, to be with Him. We know that He shared the spirit nature before, and that was a wonderful thing. But He called upon Him to be transplanted to a different type of being. And so we know of this transplant. We'll touch on that a little bit later. In the 104th Psalm, as we read one verse a few moments ago, I'd like to read, beginning with the first verse, and read through the 11th. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Some of the smaller words of definition that might somehow describe this great one that we know, have come to know as our God and our Father. Who covereth thyself with light and with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. All these are astounding words. Words that we can scarcely comprehend. Who maketh his angels spirits. Another type of spirit being to share with him life and future life for all mankind as we have come to know. His ministers of flaming fire, who layeth the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At thy voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys that run among the hills. And we see the fine details of the separation of the waters, the seas, and the little stream called springs and rivers and so on to us. These are things that are great to us because they are reality. We can see with our own minds and hearts the things that God has prepared for the preparation of this earth, for perfection of humanity to be here upon the earth to enjoy God's free green earth forever. Turning again to Job in the 9th chapter, in the verses 4-10, say, "He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered." Asking a question, has anyone done this? "Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars upon thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it rise not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, that treadeth down the waves of the sea, which make Arcturus and Orion and Pleiades and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number." All of these things that God has set in motion in the skies, and yet there are those who disbelieve in the great power of God or the existence of a divine creator, and yet he has revealed himself unto us, a God of love and of mercy, not a God of torment and eternal torture. He has revealed us that he has this plan that we spoke of a few moments ago, according to a plan of the ages that he has formulated. He has formulated this plan in his mind for the anointed Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us turn to Proverbs, the 8th chapter, and verses 22. Begin. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before the works of old." And we're speaking now of our Lord Jesus, who is the central theme of this Bible, the central theme of God Almighty. Without him and without his work here, without God sending him to be a ransom for all mankind, his plans and purposes would have not come to their fullest fruition. Twenty-third verse, "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning," or even the earth was, giving us a bit of history of that one that we were speaking of as the Logos. "Then there were no depths. I was brought forth. Then there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills were, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was with him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my lights were with the sons of men." My delights were with the sons of men. And so we see a recording here of our Lord Jesus. And we know in John 1, where it talks about that he was the beginning of his creation. Let us turn to John, the first chapter, and verses 14-17. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." We see then the fundamental thing that God had in purpose for Jesus was a transfer of life, that he came here. He became the first embryo transplant. We hear of many transplants in modern technology, transplanting life from one continent to another in many different stages and ways and means. But this has come to light only in recent years through the advanced technology of scientists. But here, God, way back, through his great power and wonder, the simple transformation of the genes and chromosomes, the individuality that was in Christ Jesus, the Logos, into Mary's womb to be the man Christ Jesus. That transfer of life is fitted together in the scriptures for us. We believe those things, because it tells us that this transfer was made. In Luke, the first chapter, in the 31st verse, we'll just read one verse. It says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Oh, when we read these things, we think so simply, that our Lord would just transfer so simply. But what great power and might that it took to actually make this transfer. In Ephesians 2:11, we read, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hand," we have a different standing with God. We are placed on a sonship basis. We are now the sons of God and have this great privilege of being able to call him our Father. In Ephesians, the third chapter and the second verse, says, "If you have heard in the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by the revelation he made known to me that mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when we read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." Think about the power of God in the ages in past. How that from Adam until Moses, and to John, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven was preached." How that all of that period of time that there was no thought of a heavenly inheritance, but it says that Christ brought light and immortality to light through the gospel, and has revealed these things to us by the power of God that we have become sons of God. What great power has touched each of our lives? What great power we have felt in our lives to bring us to this place. We came here to study in sessions. And we often think when we come into classrooms, we think of the three R's, don't we? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. But you and I, when we come to a session here in fellowship together, these three R's take on a greater new meaning. To renew. To be renewed. To rebuild our faith, our strength. To renew our acquaintance with God and with each other. To be revived. That means to be renewed. To be made new again. We also remember our first love. You remember the first time that you really knew that you were going to make a consecration to God. That you knew, and what great zeal to remember that zeal that you had at that time. How that you wanted to go and tell the whole world of God and His greatness. And thirdly, the third R, rejoice. To rejoice always in our Lord. To know that He has, in His great power, the ability to bring back every living human being that has ever existed upon this earth and give him an opportunity for life right here upon God's green earth. This same great God is dealing with you and with me. What a thrill. How it thrills within our hearts to know that this great being has touched our lives, and how we should respond to that touch that He has given us by letting us know that we are on a father-son relationship. And so in the further exercises of this convention, let us remember the three R's. That we are here in the school of Christ, and may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Gaddy.